I'm going to read the Bible reading, then I'll tell you what the theme is. 1 Corinthians 12, strangely enough. I think I'll be... I don't know. I might be reading different parts of what... Tanya read earlier. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Then we're going to skip down to 27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And then he goes on to talk about love. As I mentioned earlier, this week's been a little bit full of unexpected things, but it's been really interesting. I set up this Facebook group for cell church pastors and cell group leaders, and in the space of 24 hours, we went from zero to 50, I think, people in it, which is quite exciting. By the end of the week, it was 67 or 68 people from Africa and Asia and Narrabri and the United States and the UK, all over the place. And it's been interesting just, you know, chatting with these people on this forum about a common love of serving Jesus and, you know, the particular ministry of leading cell groups. And so it was really good. One of the guys on that forum is a guy called Ralph Neighbour, and he uploaded a PowerPoint presentation called The Upstairs Cell, I think. And part of it, he talks about headless Christianity. And I thought, that's a pretty good phrase to describe the life of a lot of people. Headless Christianity. I came across this, went looking for images to illustrate that, and I was going to put up a picture of a chook with no head on, but at the start of church, but I figured nobody quite get the connection, so I didn't bother. But but a lot of us are like that, aren't we? Run around, endless activity, and but there's no life in it. And that's the point that he's trying to make. And that's the point that Paul's trying to make in that chapter from 1 Corinthians. We need to be connected. And the key to it all is intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit and intimacy with the body of Christ. That's one another, and that's what the whole cell church movement is actually about, is promoting this twofold thing, that we've got to have a relationship with God sorted out, but we've also got to have relationships with each other. Otherwise, we're just like headless chooks. We're just like lone rangers, just doing our own thing and not achieving much at all. And that's what I want to talk about today, I guess. We live in a culture that values individuals, that values autonomy, which is sort of the nice word for it, but basically it's selfishness. A lot of people are just self-centred. Sometimes you hear people talking about narcissism, which is just, I'm the most important person in the world, and that's a fairly common sort of idea in our culture, and it's fairly well promoted in all sorts of ways. But the trouble with that is that it leads to lawlessness. If I can do whatever I like and there's no real consequences for it, then I'll do whatever I like. And you get just really bizarre things happening and really hurtful things happening all over the place. Like, if few weeks ago, Tim was just walking across the road from Susanna's place to our place, and these people just started abusing him, driving past, you know, and they... Then he said they drove up Moolabar Street and then came around and started driving straight at him. There was no reason for it, but it's lawlessness. You know, Friday nights, people wander down the street, down the highway here, and often you'll hear them bashing at the signs or bashing at the fence on the bridge or, you know. Why? Lawlessness. There's just no sensible reason for it, apart from the fact that, you know, after you've had a few beers, almost anything seems like a good idea. But it's just lawlessness. And then you get the, you know, the Muslim protests the other week with people hitting the police over the head with big sticks because basically they're lawless people. And that's the thing in our society at the moment, our culture, that emphasises rights and downplays responsibilities. We seem to have forgotten that we actually belong to each other and we've got a responsibility to, you know, care for the town or the city in which we live. So our culture is individualistic. Our culture is naturalistic in that basically science has, or a philosophy revolving around science seems to dominate our public discourse, so that, you know, you're not allowed to talk about God because you can't see God or touch God or measure God. The only things that are allowed to be talked about are things that you can see and measure, unless, of course, you're talking about, you know, crystals and angels and not real angels, but the pretend ones. And so there's a lot of apathy towards belief in general and, you know, Christianity in particular. And actually we're going down a stage, down a process now, a path where not only are people apathetic towards Christians, they're becoming increasingly hostile. And just been reading a book that I got the other night from the guy from Open Doors called Faith That Endures, and he sets out five stages of persecution, and we're up to about stage two, which is pretty scary when you think about, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, church had a lot of public respect, and now it's hostility. You got some journalists writing articles in which everything that's wrong with society you can blame on the church. I think another 10 or 20 years we might see people being thrown into jail for their faith, which is a bit scary in a country like Australia. But it's an outflowing of this combination of individualism and naturalism, which... basically squashes our belief in God. As Christians, we're called to an entirely different lifestyle. In verse 27 of that chapter, or that passage that I read, Paul says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I like the way that was the New Living Translation, which makes it very clear that it's not just talking about an individual you, it's talking about all of us together. I think the NIV just says, you are Christ's body. And we sort of read that and think, yeah, that's me. You know, I'm Christ's body. Or we might sort of give, oh, yeah, secondary thought, yeah, probably a bunch of people are Christ. No, it's all of us together, a Christ's body. And we need one another. We need one another to encourage us. We need one another to exhort us. We need one another to prompt us to move on more with God. And the other part of that is, if there's a body, that's got to be a head. And Paul explicitly says in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, he makes this connection clear. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So, in 1 Corinthians, his emphasis is on the body, but he reminds us in Ephesians that the body has a head, and the head is Christ. And we've got to be connected. The church has to be connected to Jesus. Otherwise, we're like that headless chook, having a semblance of life, but no real life at all. And that leads us to the next thought, that we have a choice about the way we live as Christians, in our cell groups, as a church. We have a choice about, Ralph Neighbour calls it living upstairs or downstairs. He says you can have an upstairs cell or a downstairs cell, and the choice is yours. And he's talking about John chapter 3, where Jesus talks to Nicodemus, and they talk about being born from above or being born from below, having our life with the Spirit or just life in the flesh. And you can read the whole John chapter 3 for homework if you like, but we have a choice as believers, as followers of Jesus. We can choose to place our trust in God and have our dependency in God and our daily expectation of living in the power of the Holy Spirit, or we can just do it all ourselves. And a lot of times we just choose to do it all ourselves. You know, a lot of churches are like that. All their activities based around programs that somebody once made up that was a great idea at the time, Spirit-led. Everybody says, oh, that's a great program, we'll import that. And it becomes a man-led thing, a flesh-led thing. There's a program called Alpha, which has been really a great evangelistic program. Started off in England in a Spirit-filled church called Holy Trinity Brompton. Nikki Gumbel wrote the program. It's been huge. It's brought dozens, millions, thousands, whatever, you know, untold numbers of people to the Lord through this Bible study program that's done over a number of weeks, and it culminates in what they call a Holy Spirit weekend, when people receive salvation, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Great idea, and numerous churches in Australia have done it. A few churches in Narrabri have done it. And a few times as I've been walking around the lake, this is years ago, I'd think, yeah, we should do Alpha. And immediately God would say, no, don't do it. And I'd think, why not? And the answer is, A, it's not for us, but B, if we did it, it would be something done out of that, you know, that man-directed thing, not a Holy Spirit-directed thing. We've always got to keep our focus on the Holy Spirit, on Jesus. Otherwise, we're living a headless form of Christianity. Everything I do, well, not everything I do, but most of the stuff I do, I try to make sure that it's God-directed. I at least run it past the Lord before I do it. So, you know, my cell group programs every week, I put a lot of prayer into that. And on Tuesday lunchtimes, Kerry and Grant and I meet together for a very brief prayer time, just to commit it all to God. When I'm thinking about the passage we're going to look at and the topics we're going to talk about, I just lay all of that before God and say, God, show me what to do. Sunday morning sermon, same deal, you know, when we make decisions about blowing chairs or blowing artificial grass or whatever. Margaret and I both pray about all that stuff because it's really important, because we don't want to do anything that is just us. I'm not saying that, you know, everything we do is led by the Holy Spirit, but we try. Yeah, so we try to make sure that what we do is directed by the Holy Spirit and not just out of our own good ideas or our own wisdom, or, you know, we've always done it this way or whatever. You know, a lot of churches just rely on tradition. We've never done it this way before, so let's not do it for the first time. Remember a lecture I had at college. One of the most important thing I learned at college, probably the only important thing I learned at college, you can never do anything for the first time in the church, right? Because if you try something for the first time, we've never done it that way before. So if you say, well, we're just going to try this for the second time, that's fine, you know, but just don't do it the first time. I don't know how you get to do it the second time if you can't do it the first time, but I always found trial periods were always good. Just try something for 3 months, see if it works, and by that time it's enough of a tradition you can't go back. But anyway, You know, churches rely on tradition. We're reluctant to change because, you know, we've always done it this way. We all... or whatever. Yeah, that's the way we are. And it's all right to do things because they're comfortable and, you know, they seem to work. But when God says, just do one song, or when God says, put the sermon first and do worship later, or when God says, you know, do something different, then we've got to be prepared to do something different. And when we become dependent on what we have always done or what we trust or what we know, then we stop relying on the Holy Spirit. And that is a dangerous place for individuals, and it's a dangerous place for the church and for cell groups as well. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to direct what we do. So what God says goes. What God doesn't authorise comes to an end. And that dependence on God can be a tricky thing. Getting it right can be so difficult. And that's why we need the body. That's why we need each other to run those ideas past and make sure that what we're doing is led by God. I seem to be getting louder and louder. Yeah, so let's learn to... run against our culture, to increasingly depend on God, listen to the Holy Spirit, and also learn to be close to our brothers and sisters, depending on one another, loving one another, building one another up. And that's why cell groups are so, so important, because in a small group, it's easy to pray for one another, it's easy to encourage one another, it's easy to minister to one another. So let's do that. Let's learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. Let's learn to depend on one another and get those two things together in balance. And no longer will we be, you know, individuals running around doing our own thing. No longer will we be headless because our dependency will be on God. Father, I thank you that you have given us the church. You've given us, Lord, one another, so we don't have to walk the path of faith alone. Lord, you've given us one another so that we don't all have to have all the gifts and all the answers. But Lord, you give us the opportunity to use our gifts to your glory in the context of a bigger body. And I just thank you for that, Lord. I pray you give us a bigger revelation, each one of us, of how the body fits together. Give us a bigger revelation, Lord, in terms of our cell groups, in terms of the congregation, in terms of the one church in Narrabri, in terms of the whole church, Lord, in this country and around the world. Lord, give us a bigger picture of how it's all supposed to work, Lord. And Father, help us to depend on you, and not just on our gifts and our talents. Help us, Lord, to live in daily dependence on you, reading your word, Lord, for direction, listening to your spirit for specific guidance, living each day in close fellowship. Lord, conversing with you as the day goes on, and not just doing what we've always done because we've always done it, not just doing what we've done in the past because it worked once, but, Lord, always living in a close living relationship with you and with your people. Lord, I pray you'd show each one of us what we need to do that's different, what we need to understand that's different to what we've known before. And Lord, may we all walk in the fullness of all that you have for us to do and to be. Amen.